Chapter 3.
What took so long? The rest of the pastries have been ready for an hour.
Cassie, Lexi's assistant and best friend, stood in the doorway to the kitchen, hands on hips, her pink hair ruffled up into an angry spike. Lexi blew out a breath.
You won't believe what happened.
Cassie lifted her eyebrows in response.
What?
Chastine Johnson's been murdered, Lexi blurted out. She watched Cassie's face run through a gamut of emotions. Surprise, confusion, then disbelief.
No, that can't be. What will we do with all these pastries?
She spread her arms in the direction of the kitchen, which was loaded to the brim with baked goods. Cinnamon buns, eclairs, banana and pumpkin breads, brownies, and Lexi's signature pastry, cupcake tops loaded with creamy frosting. Lexi stopped short. She hadn't considered that. What would they do with all the pastry? What would happen to her big catering job now that there would be no wedding? Feeling lightheaded, Lexi plopped down in one of the tall kitchen chairs. She took a deep breath. The familiar scent of flour, sugar, and cinnamon acted as a soothing balm and kicked her brain into gear.
I hadn't thought about that.
She tapped her front teeth with long red nails.
With Chastine dead, there won't be any wedding.
And I spent the money from the job on the new kitchen equipment. The girls looked around the bakery kitchen. Brand new appliances gleamed in every corner. Commercial ovens, mixers, and a walk-in refrigerator had just been installed to replace the old used ones they had been making do with. Lexi had opened her bakery, the cup and cake, barely a year ago, on a shoestring budget. A loan from her parents, who had sold their home to travel the country in an RV, had helped her buy what she needed. But she had to stretch each dollar and had only been able to afford older, used equipment. That equipment didn't work up to par and broke down quite a bit, which made it harder to get the work done. New equipment would be more efficient and allow her to be more productive, which would make the bakery more profitable. Her business had been growing nicely, but she wouldn't have been able to afford all new kitchen equipment if it wasn't for the Tollivers' big catering job. If she lost all that money, she would have a hard time paying the equipment bill, which would be coming any day now. Lexi felt her stomach drop. Her business could be at risk if she didn't collect at least part of the payment. For several parties, she'd already catered for him, including this morning's. Xavier had promised her the partial payment today, but considering the circumstances, she doubted that would happen.
We need to get whatever money we can from this job, or we could be in big trouble, she said, feeling tears threaten. Geez, Lexi, I'm not sure how you can do that. I mean, you can't just breeze in on the day the guy's fiance gets murdered and present him with a bill.
Yeah, that would be rude, Lexi agreed. I couldn't do it.
But I know someone who could. Can you hold down the fort here for a little while?
Cassie nodded.
Great. I'll be back in a bit,
Lexi said, stuffing a raspberry scone into her mouth as she slid off her chair, grabbed her purse, and ran out the back door. Lexi whipped her yellow VW Beetle into the first parking spot she found at the Brook Ridge Retirement Community. Her grandmother, or Nans, as Lexi called her, had recently moved to the upscale community for retirees to be closer to friends and not have to worry about driving. She had given the old craftsman-style bungalow she lived in for most of her life to Lexi. Lexi had called ahead to make sure Nans was around. With all her senior activities, the woman could be impossible to get in touch with. But today, Lexi had lucked out. Nans was waiting for her inside. Breezing in through the large glass doors to the comfortably furnished lobby of the retirement center, her eyes scanned the room. They found Nans at a round table with her three closest friends. The four of them could usually be found at that table, talking, having coffee, and, as Lexi had discovered earlier in the summer, solving murders with the help of their iPads.
Lexi rushed over, swallowing Nan's in a big hug.
"Morning, ladies," she addressed the group.
Ida, Ruth, and Helen murmured greetings. They looked ready for anything in their polyester print shirts and fresh bluish-gray perms.
"I can see something is bothering you,"
Nan stated, her intelligent green eyes studying Lexi's face. Lexi took a deep breath.
"I was delivering food to the Tollivers this morning for a brunch, and I discovered Chastine Johnson's body in the kitchen."
The ladies gasped, then leaned forward.
"Murdered?"
Ida asked with a gleam in her eye. Lexi nodded.
"How?" Ruth chimed in. "Well, I'm no expert on bodies, but it looked like she'd been stabbed in the chest."
The four women exchanged excited glances. Lexi was afraid this might happen. At the beginning of the summer, when her ex, Kevin, had been poisoned, Lexi had turned to Nan's for comfort and discovered the four women had an odd hobby. They solved murders. They even had a name for themselves, the Ladies Detective Club. They didn't go out roaming the streets in trench coats. Well, not usually. They preferred to stay in the retirement center, gathering clues from the internet, which they accessed through their iPads. They had been instrumental in helping her find Kevin's killer. But she didn't need help solving a murder right now. She only wanted to collect the money for the catering job she'd done for Xavier Tolliver.
"Tell us everything you know about it," Nans demanded.
"Nans, I didn't come here to try to solve the murder. I just wanted to ask you a teensy tiny favor."
Lexi held her hand up, her index finger and thumb a tiny space apart.
"Oh, anything for you, dear," Nans said. "I'll do whatever you want, right after you tell us everything you know about the murder."
With a sigh, Lexi pulled out a chair, flopping into it. The four women leaned in toward her. Lexi told them about how the door had swung open when she knocked, how she had let herself in and discovered the body in the kitchen.
"No one was there?" Helen asked, the wrinkles on her forehead doubling.
"What was she wearing?" Ida asked.
"Did you see the murder weapon?" Ruth added.
Lexi bit her lower lip, trying to remember.
"Come to think of it, I didn't see the murder weapon. I don't know if they found it."
The women nodded knowingly.
"That's the first thing you should look for," Helen said.
Lexi held up her hands.
No, I'm not trying to find the killer on this one, ladies."
Trying to ignore the looks of disappointment on their faces, she went on.
"I do have one little problem, though."
Nans cocked her head to one side.
"Go on, dear."
"As you know, the Tollivers hired me to cater all the events leading up to and including the wedding. Obviously, there will be no wedding now, but I desperately need to collect at least the money for what I have done so far. I was supposed to get paid half now and the rest after the wedding, but with the murder now, I'm not sure how to collect my money."
She looked at Nans.
"That's the favor I wanted. I was hoping you could go over there with me, you know, to give your condolences to Xavier and maybe give him a hint about the payment."
"Of course. Xavier and I have been great friends since grade school, so I should go over and give my condolences. He must be crushed. You know, he really did care for her. We can go right now if you want."
Lexi looked at her watch. Several hours had passed since she was last at the mansion, which gave Xavier a bit of time to process the information. She stood up, pushing her chair in.
"Now would be perfect."
Ida, Ruth, and Helen were already pulling out their iPads, presumably to Google the Tollivers and start their investigation. As Lexi made her way across the lobby to the door with Nans, she heard Ida yell out after them.
"Don't forget to question anyone who is there. Inspect the crime scene and bring us back some clues."